like to speak about today and on this wonderful day in Queens College is a little bit about today. Anyone know what today is? What's it known as?
Hanukkah.
Zot Hanukkah. It's known as Zot Hanukkah. Why is it called Zot Hanukkah? One of the reasons why it's called Zot Hanukkah, because that's one of the paragraphs in the Kriyat HaTorah from this morning, is Zot Hanukkah. Zot Hanukkah HaMizbeach. And we know that it's the end of the long list of all the Nesim and the Korbanos that they brought. And so it's called Zot Hanukkah. And Zot Hanukkah sometimes presents us with a bit of a challenge because it's like at the way end of Hanukkah. And I want to speak a little bit about Zot Hanukkah being at the way end of Hanukkah and a message that we can all take from that, if that's okay. That makes sense? Okay. Now, the reason why it presents us with a bit of a challenge, as we're going to see soon when the Marmakomos arrive, is that the Torah in a number of places, based upon Chazal, tell us that it's very important that the mitzvahs that we do, yihyu be'enecha chadashim, should be like new. It's very difficult when we go through, you know, the same thing day after day, week after week, month after month. It's very difficult to be inspired and to feel like what we're doing it has any meaning, right? You wake up every morning, certainly as life continues, and you know, as you grow older, life certainly becomes a little more challenging. It becomes more complicated, and it becomes busier. So I'm sure already this year you're realizing that life is more complicated and busier than it was the year before. And the year before that was even less. So as your age increases, and Bezrat Hashem, you know, your families and whatnot, but this is not about that. You know, as your responsibilities grow, things become more complicated. Sometimes it's difficult to value each and everything that we do because there's such a rush. Most things that we do become so habitual and almost reflexive. Like you wake up in the morning and you go to Minyan, those of you who are males, and you go to Minyan and you put on your tefillin, and it's very difficult to even know what you're doing. I'm sure some of you have experienced as well, like you're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei and like you don't know which paragraph, which bracha you just said, and like, oh no, what do I do now? Like, where do I go back to? Or like in Shema, you don't know if in the first part of Shema, the last part of Shema, every morning becomes like an experience that you have in Shavuos morning. You don't know what you're doing in davening, and it's very difficult because life sometimes just goes without you having the ability to even realizing that it's passing you by, and that can sometimes put a damper on your avodat Hashem because you don't appreciate your own value, you don't realize what you're doing. Therefore, the Torah tells us a number of places that it's very important to view it as if it's something new that's happening. When new things happen, you get very excited about it. It's once things get stale and they get old and get dry that you don't value it as much, and sometimes these opportunities for growth and for spiritual life can pass you by. So together in the Marma Komashi that I have, so please don't crowd around me to read it together. I'll just read it to you. One of these paragraphs you know very well. It's from Devarim Perek Vav. Anyone know what's famously in Devarim Perek Vav? Excellent. Shema. Good. Whoever said that. Kol Kavod. It says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Beginning. And then it says, V'haftat Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol me'odecha. You should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with whatever that means. There's a lot of Divrei Chazal on that. V'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol me'odecha. Then it says, V'hayu ha'dvarim ha'ele, Asher nochi mitzavecha, and it should be those things that I command you, hayom al levavecha. Today they should be on your heart. Continues, v'shinantum levenecha v'dibar tabam, you teach to your children, v'shiftecha v'vitecha, v'lechecha v'derech, when you're going, when you're sitting, v'shachkav k'mecha, morning, night, sleeping, waking, v'kshatam l'ot ha'idecha, put it on your arm as tefillin, v'chtavtam al mezuzot v'itecha, u'v'yisharecha, and you should have it on your mezuzot. Wonderful, fine. So Rashi there pops up and it says, it's so weird, why does the Torah say, v'ayuad v'ma'ila shenuchim mitzavecha, hayom? Excuse me, my bar mitzvah. Why does it be today on your hearts? What does it mean? Hayom al levavecha. So Rashi says, Lo yihyu be'enecha kidiyutagma yishana. The mitzvot that you are given should not be like old, antiquated. I'm using big words because we're in college. Old, antiquated edicts. She'ein adam sufana. Something they don't really care about. Rather, every single day, every mitzvah that you do should be as if you just became aware of this mitzvah today. Shakol ratzin lekrata, running at every opportunity to perform that mitzvah. Do you talk about mitzvah hamelech haba b'mechtav? It's as if a mitzvah that you just got today. Right? You ever see like Bali Tshuva are like very excited about mitzvahs that they do. They get very like, oh, I'm going to buy my lulav. They get very excited about it because it's something new to them, something they haven't experienced. But unfortunately for us, sometimes, is it me or is it 1,000 degrees in here? It's like I'm back in Winter Regional. It's like I'm back into the Belmore Spa. Whatever it is. That,
should I do it?
I don't know.
It's so damn hot.
Is that how to do that? It's very intense. No, not. Oh, nice. Kol kavod, Kara. Thank you for Kara-ing about our environment. That it's very difficult because oftentimes the mitzvahs become, we look at them as burdens as opposed to being something that's new and exciting. Again, that's a Bali Tshuva, often look at mitzvahs as new and exciting. We look at them as burdens. Oh my gosh, again. Oh my gosh, I got another shir. Oh my gosh, oh mincha, oh my gosh. Whatever it is, it's very difficult sometimes to feel the newness of the mitzvahs. We see a similar idea right when we got the Torah. Let's all read together, but just me. B'chodesh ha'shlishi letzei b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim b'yom hazeh bo midbar Sinai. This day you came to Midbar Sinai to get the Torah. We're not going to read the rest of the Pesukim here because I'm the only one who has the Marmakomas. I feel bad because Rabbi Charnov was like running a marathon to get them. The Rashi says right there, what does it mean that it's to be today? Barosh Chodesh lo yetzirich lechtov ela b'yomahu. It should have said on that day. Why does the Torah say on this day you came to the Midbar Sinai? Mahu b'yom hazesh you divrei Torah chadashim alecha k'ilu hayom natdu. You have to view all the mitzvahs that you do as if they were given to you today. Something new and exciting. A new challenge, a new thing, like whatever. It's Hanukkah. You guys get Hanukkah presents? Right? Anyone get exciting Hanukkah presents? Anyone want to share with us what they got as a Hanukkah present? I really wanted something for Hanukkah. I kept on leaving hints. I didn't get it. It's fine. I got hand cream instead. Oh, I hope Neely doesn't listen to this year. Awkward. Please don't. You know, you like my son. My son is very into sports. And, you know, you guys know there's a basketball player. What's his name? Kobe Bryant. So he's retiring. So my son Shmuel, he's very, like, excited and, like, emotional. Kobe Bryant's retiring. So, like, he's been, like, you know, wanting. He wanted me to get. It's ridiculous. He plays on the basketball team. Not quite as good as the Lakers. And so he wants one of those sleevey things. You know, you see those things? He's, like, very much into, like, he wants, like, an L.A. Laker sleevey thing. What do they call it? Sleevies, no? Yeah. Like, what do you call it? What do you guys call those things that you put up?
Sleevies.
No, what you guys wear? Just the sleeve part.
Sleevies.
He wants a sleevey, not for sneeze reasons, for sports reasons. And he's very excited about it. You know, when he gets it, what's he going to do when he gets it? I'm sure. Put it on, everything like that. But after a week, you know, whatever. He's not going to care about it as much. So, like, Michali, whenever I go, you know, Michali? So, every time I go to America, she always wants the same thing. She wants me to buy her plastic tiaras. That's the thing. She has like 3,000 of them, which she wears for a total of 5 minutes till they break. Then, like, after a certain while, like, she doesn't care about the tiaras anymore. So when she first gets it, it's like the most sparkly plastic. It's like the most exciting thing in the world. After a while, it loses its luster. So the Torah is telling us, don't let that happen to you in your mitzvahs. Don't let it die down. Don't let it become something that becomes stale and something that you don't care about. Again, similarly, we'll just read number 5 and number 6 because you all have the Marmakos in front of you. The Torah says, Hayop. By the end of when you bring Bikurim, at the end is Hayom Hazeh Hashem Elokechem Etzav Chalasot Etachukim Ailah Hayom Hazeh. Again, why in the present tense? So Rashi says, "B'chol Yom Yiyu Beinecha Chadashim." Everything should be new. Everything should feel fresh whenever you do the mitzvahs. Okay, that's great, nice thing to say, but of course it's a very difficult thing to actually experience because it's just the nature of the way we are. That after a certain while, things do become stale, and you have to reinvigorate it. So I think that's a challenge that we do face today on Zos Chanukah. Zos Chanukah is like the forgotten child of Chanukah. Why? Because the first night is like super duper exciting, right? It's been a whole year. You know, you get the candles. You know, some of you lighting in your apartments. Some of you're lighting at home. And like you weren't here last year or 2 years ago. And the whole family's together. And everyone's so excited. And your mother's putting your arm around you and giving you a hug. I'm so happy you're here this year. And they're taking the candle. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam. You know, and yeah. Maybe, I don't know. Tears going down someone's eye. Fine. Said also. Then you say, that the tune you guys use? It happened at one time in Shul. They don't use that tune in Israel. I didn't know that. So, we moved into our new house 2 years ago, 3 years ago in Hanukkah time. And we moved in like a Friday afternoon. It was like crazy. I come to Shul. And the winner of the marathon is... I thank you profusely. I'll do it again. I want to thank Rabbi Charnoff for not only arranging all the food, not only being a gracious host, and not only taking care of all everything that's necessary for today, and planning the room, powder maker hall, room 130, not room 103, which apparently is a boys' bathroom.
It's okay. I think one of the groups wants 131, which was a locked closet, so
well. Okay, this is pretty good. So we want to thank Rabbi Sharp for taking care of all the stuff on the micro level, but also on a macro level of being a close friend of Shalom of Women, and also being someone who I don't think you can ever appreciate enough what Rabbi Charnoff has managed to do for Jewish life in Queens College in general and for Shalom Women in specific. Back to Hanukkah, my story about Hanukkah candles. So there I was in shul, and it's Saturday night, and the Gavai comes over and he says, okay, go light candles. For the Bit Knesset. So I was like, nah, I'm not into that, yo. He said, no, do it. So I finally went up there. Baruch atah Hashem. Right, I did the whole thing. And then when I came back to my seat, the guy behind me is like, you forgot to bring your choir with you. And then I didn't realize the next night, they're like, Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam. It's very embarrassing. Right, so then you're up to the bracha of Shechianu v'kiyumanu v'hikyanu z'man hazeh, and you feel it. You start humming in your brain, those were the nights of Hanukkah, I remember long ago, right? Thinking about, what's her name? The person in the song? Uncle Jaime, spinning dreidel, whatever it is. And I become in the second day also, and then you have Shabbos Hanukkah, which is his own excitement, and then comes the eighth day of Hanukkah. So you light the candle, which is a beautiful thing. You lit the candles the night before, but then like, what is right now? Like, do you feel like it's Hanukkah at all?
No.
You're not lighting candles. Here you are in Queens College. What aspect of Hanukkah are you feeling right now? Like, it's done, especially. Hold on. Thank you for getting my good side.
We got both just in case.
So, you know, what aspect of Hanukkah are you feeling? Maybe if you're going to, let's assume, because we're from Shalom for Women, of course, that you're all going to be davening mincha. So maybe, hopefully, you remember to say Al Nisim, right? You know, that'll be one of, like, you know, of all the time you talk. Hopefully, you remember to say Al Nisim so you won't miss the last Al Nisim for Hanukkah. But aside from that, the feelings is really kind of gone. It's really, you don't really feel it anymore, which is so sad because this is Zos Hanukkah. Right, which again, from a technical perspective, is called Zos Hanukkah because that's the Kriyat HaTorah that we learned today. But there's got to be something deeper that Zos Hanukkah, this is Hanukkah. But if this is Hanukkah, why is it so like blah? You know? Right? I think it's a pretty good question. I'm into that. Any questions? You guys hear me in the back? Thank you all for coming. This is so exciting. Have a wonderful day. Joking. So we're going to answer our question with a based upon a Gemara. Now the Gemara really is speaking about a technical Hilchos Brachos issue, but many of the Hasidim use this to as a beautiful idea. And let's look together. Look at number 7, the Mar Makomos. You guys have the Mar Makomos now? Yeah. Look at number 7, the Mar Makomos. Number 7 is a famous Gemara Masechet Brachot of Yibet Amar Al, which deals with the following question. We know that there's a certain bracha you make after Baruch Hu in Shacharit, and there's a bracha you make after Baruch Hu in Arbit. And many of us, as we know, can confuse those brachos, right? You're davening without a sitter, you're davening very fast, you don't really know what you're doing, it's very easy to mess up the brachos. So the Gemara deals with this. Look what the Gemara says in number 7. Toshma, Shacharit. Let's say you're davening Shacharit. Patach b'yotzer or. You begin with the bracha correctly. Yotzer or v'rei choshech. Oseh shalom v'rei takol.
We did this in Midrashah this semester.
You did this Gemara?
We did the Shulchan Aruch.
Yes, fair. So, patach b'yotzer or v'sayim b'ma'ariv arvim. So you started the right way, but ended the wrong way. You started the bracha for Shacharit, you ended for Ma'ariv. Lo yatza. You haven't done it. You got to daven again. You didn't do it the right way. Patach b'ma'ariv aravim. Let's say what you did during the morning is you started with the ma'ariv bracha. Patach. You began the bracha with ma'ariv aravim. V'sayim b'yotzor. You ended the correct way. Yatsa. Manyein. So you started the wrong way. You started the right way. Ended the wrong way. No good. Started the wrong way. Ended the right way. Good. Arvid patach b'mariv aravim. Let's say mariv. You started with mariv aravim the correct way you started. V'sayim b'yotzor, but you ended the wrong way. Lo yatza patach b'yotzor. But if the converse happens, if you started the right way, the wrong way. I'm sorry. V'sayim b'mariv aravim, and you ended the wrong, and you ended the right way. Yatza. So comes the Gemara and says, Klalo shel davar. Here's the halacha. Hakol holech achar hachatom. What's important is the ending. If you end right, then you're yotze the bracha. Ooh. So a lot of the Hasidim say, based upon this is not just true for Hilchot Brachot, but this is true in general. In general, life is full of struggles, life is difficult, most of the things that we do are a process, says the Hasidim, but this Gemara is what tells you what's important. Hakol, Halech, Achar Hachatum. If you end on a high, if you end well, you're doing great. Process can be complicated. Process can be stressful. But if you can look back at the end, when you've accomplished the goal you've set out, and you can say, I did it, then you're yotze. Then you've done a good job. Hakol holech achar achatov. Beautiful. That's it. True for life, right? That's true for, you know, different experiences that we have. And that's, I think, it's certainly true for Hanukkah as well. As we look to the next Gemara. You guys with me still? Okay, great. Thanks. Thanks for that rousing feedback. Says the Gemara, number 8, the Mar Makomos. Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught us, Mitzvat Chanukah ner Ishu Beito. We've seen this before. The mitzvah of Chanukah is for each person. V'hamahadrin ner l'chol echad v'achad. And if you're really from, if you only eat mahadrin, then you light one candle for each person. V'hamahadrin min hamahadrin. If you only eat badatz. That's a joke. Thanks, guys. Thank you. Bet Shammai Amrim, Yom Rishon, Madlik Shmoneh. Bet Shammai says, on the first day you light 8, Mikan Ve'ilech Pochit Ve'olech, and then you go 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You count down. Yafeh. Bet Hillel Amrim says, no, Yom Rishon, Madlik Achad. You start the first day, you light 1, Mikan Ve'ilech, Mosif Ve'olech, and each day you add. So number, day 1, 1, day 2, 2, day 3, 3, day 4, 4. Mosif Holech. Amar Ula, Pligi Batre Amorei B'Ma'arava. There's the same machlokis they had in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin, Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida, Chad Amar Tamad Beit Shammai, Keneged Yamim HaNechnasim. One said the reason for Beit Shammai is because he is counting down, because as each day passes, like, you, it's less and less and less. Tamad Beit Hillel, but what does Beit Hillel say? Why do you add on another one every day? Keneged Yamim HaYotzin. What does that mean literally? Keneged Hayamin HaYotzin. What does that mean? We'll try to train them together. Can I get? So if the cut ends with or responding? Corresponding to Yamim, the days, Hayotzin. Corresponding to the days that have passed. Meaning that on day one you light one candle, on day two you light two candles. What do those two candles represent? That day and the day before. On day three you light three candles. What do they represent? That day and the day before and the day before that. And should I continue? You guys got the mathematical equation. You understand? I could chart it on the board. I mean, I only use smart boards, so I wouldn't. Very embarrassing. I was in Montreal, yeah, and in the school in Montreal they have smart boards, right? And I didn't know. I'd never seen a smart board before. I don't know what it was. I don't know what I'm doing. So I went to write something on the board, and like, oh yeah, you can feel free to use the board. So I like went up to the board very cautiously because it wasn't a real board that I took.
Oh no.
No, it wasn't a marker, it was like a stylus. I don't know what you call that. And I was like. And they all laughed at me. But it's fine. Now. Day 5, you line up for day 5. 4, 3, 2, 1. So you see that there is a certain, it's Ma'alim B'Kodesh. You have a certain ascension. Holiness each day becomes holier and holier and holier and holier. Each day corresponds to that day and all the days that have passed. So still, I don't really know what that means. What I do know, at least at this point, is that the 8th day must be a super holy day. Because the 8th day, I'm not only lighting for day 8, but I'm also lighting for day 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. That's amazing, but what does that mean to me? What does that mean that I'm lighting Keneged Hayamim Hayotzim? What is the significance and the importance of the 8th day of Hanukkah in that it also represents day 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1? How does that work and what does that mean? You guys all with me?
Yes!
Let's turn the page. So this is a very long one. We're not going to read the whole thing, but maybe we will because it goes pretty fast. This is from the Shari HaMoedim. Shari HaMoedim is a beautiful sefer. It's a compilation of talks that the Lubavitch Rebbe gave on different holidays. So there's a Hanukkah volume, there's the Pesach volume, two volumes on Pesach actually. There's the Yom Kippur volume, Rosh Hashanah volume, and the Hanukkah volume. He has a beautiful idea based upon what we've been talking about until that point. So let's read together. I'll move quickly like I usually do. Says Lubavitch Rebbe, Kishihudi Madliku Meir Biyom Hashmini. So on the 8th day, that day which really is the blah day. That day when it's over, it's finished. You know, you already cleaned up the Chanukiah. You already shined that the metal menorah, the silver menorah. It's back in your case. You've taken all the extra stuff. You put it away for the next year. That day, the 8th day, Yesh b'kachol leosif or gam ayamim shavru. That day, you should not take that day for granted. It's not just stam a day. It's not the whittling away of Hanukkah. It is a day which corresponds to all the days that have passed. What does that mean? Not only does it correspond to, it adds on the days that have passed. Humosif tokef v'chozek gam b'or shekvar helik b'zman shavar. It is a culmination of this wonderful holiday of lights. Kolomar, what does that mean? Next paragraph. Af al pisha b'yom harishon shel Chanukah hu kayem et hamitzvah shadlak anir Chanukah. Even on the first day, you are mekayem the mitzvah. Shechianu and the whole thing. Kach gam b'yamim shalach harav. Zeh, same thing with all the days that followed it. Mikol makom kishibah hayom acharon, but the last day, Zot Chanukah, today, lomeid humimena, There's something very deep going on here. Et Hora'atah HaMiuchedet. It's a very special message here. Hora'at Yom HaShmini Dimei Chanukah. What is the special message of the 8th day of Chanukah? Aside from the fact that the 8th day is its own special day, if you really think about it, if you really want, it can also retroactively energize the days that have passed. So it's like the final days, the culmination, it energizes it, it gives extra koach to the days that have passed. What does that mean? I don't know. Let's continue with the next paragraph. You guys with me? 1, 2, 3, next paragraph. Shemosif ha'osafa she'od ne'aracha. When you add another candle each day, al kol hayamim she'avru, corresponding to each day that's passed, atshu madlik b'yom hazeh, yom hashmini shel Chanukah. So when you light in the 8th day, lo rak echad yom echad, not just one candle, all 7 candles, you really enlighten, you really energize the whole week that's passed. We'll explain. Even though every day you've done the right thing, day 1, 1, day 2, 2, every day that you've added on more light, everything is becoming more bright. It energizes every other day. What does that mean? So we feel especially on the 8th day. The 8th day was a culmination of every day that passed. So again, basically the same thing in those last 3 paragraphs. The 8th day is a special day because it adds on to the light of the past 7 days. That's beautiful, but like, what does that mean to us? Let's see. Look at the next paragraph, number 4. Again, I'm moving fast. Here is the message that you could take with this from this day for the rest of the year. So we all know that if Chas V'Shalom would do something wrong, if we miss Shacharis, we could daven Mincha twice. If we miss Mincha, we could daven Arvi twice. There's always, you can always make up for something wrong that you've done. You can always do tshuva. That we know, says the Bava Troy. Put that on the side. We should never think that we lost. There's always room. You can always make up for something that you've missed. There's always room to fix something that you didn't do before. Both in kaful and mechupal. You can always, there's always opportunity to fix something that you've broken. Always room to repent. Belimur Torah, whether it's a Torah thing or a matan tzedakah or tzedakah, hinei nosaf is the odinan. But there's even something deeper that we can learn from the 8th day of Chanukah. Aside from doing tshuva for stuff that we might have missed, aside from fixing things that might be broken, afilu benogel l'inyanim b'Torah mitzvot shnahag b'hem karaoi. Says with Abba Trebi, there's an opportunity in life to give more boost, give more oomph, to give more steroids, for lack of a better term, to things that you've done appropriately. You've done a mitzvah appropriately. There's a way to make it even better, to energize it. Biyamim shalaf neizeh. Hine heyoch kishemit gaber ba'od yom mitvasim etzlo od yidiyot binyanei Torah mitzvot. That if you learn something, you can learn something a year later that will reflect on something that you learned before, and it can, wow! Like, I don't know how many times people have had that before, that whether this year or the year before or whatever it is, that you learned a halacha in seminary. And then you finally had that issue. Oh my goodness, what bracha do I make on sushi? There's vegetables, and there's rice, and the vegetables of the ikar. Oh my goodness, I learned this in Rabbi Cohen's brachas night seder thing. Right? There's always something that you can pick up, or like, you know, you're a deep philosophical issue. I remember it's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. Like, you have those, what do they call it? There's a fancy word for it.
Moments.
There's a better word for a ha moment.
Epiphany.
Thank you. English literature. You have those epiphanies, and those epiphanies, like, oh my goodness, thank God that I had that experience in the past. And when you have that experience now, it gives more energy to the thing that you've done before. So when you relearn something, or you re-engage in something, or if you come across something that reflects on something you've done in the past, it energizes what you've done in the past. Meaning seminary in itself is a wonderful experience. But when something that you learned in seminary, you meet that issue in the real world, so to speak, it makes that seminary experience in retrospective, wow, so much more chashuv and important. Shabbat shalom, bless you. Bye. Okay, be done. Okay, bye. She didn't like the sushi. Yafeh. Okay, he goes on, he says, at the end of the 4th paragraph, so basically you can always add on, you can re-energize things that happened in the past. It's like, anyone here ever go to college? You're all in college, yeah? So how many of you are doing majors that you find, maybe, I don't want to make anyone uncomfortable, how many of you have some difficult tests you have to do? Difficult things. Difficult, right? Difficult tests. And sometimes... It's like group therapy. Sometimes, and with the difficult things that we've done, you know, you have to make sacrifices. Make sacrifices. You know, you want to, anybody want to be a doctor? Great. Striving for excellence. You know, so you want to be a doctor. So you're studying very hard. I have an alumni who's not here. She's older and she's married, right? So I ran into her brother. Long story, make a long story. She ran into her brother yesterday, Mincha, in New Rochelle. And so she said, my sister's in New Rochelle. I don't want to mention him. My sister's in New Rochelle also. I said, oh, great. Where's her husband? I'd love to see him. Like, why is his name Mincha? You know, I'd love to see him. And she's like, no. He's in medical school and he's studying right now. So he's missing the family Hanukkah party. So, like, on one hand, that's sad. Unless, I don't know, the in-laws, I'm not sure. You're missing the family Hanukkah party, which is a sad thing. But he wants to become a doctor, and he's working hard, right? So what happens when he passes his medical boards? Is that a thing?
Yes.
He passes your medical boards, he does well on his he did his MCAT. So you pass your medical boards, and you look back and you say, that was really hard what I went through. It's really terrible. But it was all worth it, because now I'm a doctor, right? You understand what I'm saying? So a lot of times the accomplishment of a goal, it can give certain koach and energy and a realization of success for things that you've done in the past. You sacrifice a lot. I missed this family party, I missed that family party, but now it's worth it. Now, how would he feel if he missed like a big family event, but he dropped out of medical school, or he failed out of medical school? You feel like an F-O-O-L. You don't want to use bad words. You feel like an F-O-O-L, because not only now are you not a doctor, but you missed so many opportunities that you could have had. So it's in retrospect that the sacrifices that you made become so much more value because of what you were able to accomplish. Right? The same with family also. There's a movie out there I saw when I was a kid called Good Will Hunting. You ever seen the movie Good Will Hunting?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Taking contemporary cinema 101. How to Make a Hall 130. So, not 103. So, there's a great, I always remember, there's a great line in Good Will Hunting. Not that I've ever seen it before. I saw a clip of this part of it on YouTube. And, in that movie, so there's the guy, what's his name, the guy who died, Robin Williams. Robin Williams is up there, he's playing the psychologist for Matt Damon, is that his name? So, Toramad, it's fine, it's good. So there's, so he's saying, speaking about, what's that guy's name? So Robin Williams, whatever his name is, he's speaking about his wife that passed away, and there's one point Matt Damon says, and do you regret it? Like, wouldn't it have been so much better if you never met your wife, because then you wouldn't be going through the pain and sorrow they're going through now. He said, absolutely not, and I said, I'll tell you a story. Again, this is paraphrasing it in my own way. He says, do you remember the Game 6, 1976 World Series game with the Red Sox? I'm just making up the dates, I don't really know. Yeah, sure, so I had tickets to that game. And the Matt Damon character's going, woo, you tickets to that game, it's sick. And they're reliving the game. And then he says, I never went to the game. He's like, what? Why don't you ever go to the game? He says, because I was in a bar, Chas V'Shalom Lo Aleinu, 3 hours before the game. And then I saw this girl walk in the room. And she swept me off my feet. And I knew when I saw this girl, I was going to marry her. So I didn't go to the game. And Matt Damon character's like, what, you crazy? That's crazy, you didn't go to the game. He said it a little more spicy than that. And and he said it was worth missing that amazing World Series game because I met the woman of my dreams. I met my soulmate, however he said it. Right? So now, imagine if that character, that Robin Williams character and his wife, imagine if like they didn't go anywhere, like they broke up. Like how silly would he have felt, like missing that crazy, amazing game. Would have felt like a fool. Like, oh my gosh, there you are, girl crazy, missed the game. But the fact that it worked out for him, the fact that, you know, he put in this effort and was able to make it makes missing that game, not only is it like the sacrifice is worth it, it makes it so much more meaningful because he sacrificed something so important to him for something that's even more important, and wow. Like, you look back and you feel really proud of what you've accomplished. It's an amazing thing. So I think the Rebbe is saying that's something that you learn from the 8th day of Hanukkah. The 8th day of Hanukkah, it builds up on everything you've done in the past. Let's see. Stick with me. Woo. Look at number 9. Let's go. Still number 9, the last paragraph. The Zuhi Ha Ra'ashi Shlomon Miyom Hashmini Timei Hanukkah. This is the lesson of the last day of Hanukkah. Nosaf lezeh. In addition, shekeshelo osem ma'isa tov chas v'shalom. So certainly, if you've done something bad, hulom mitya esh b'ta'ana shadavra avud ve'in ma'lasot. Certainly, don't give up hope. Ki yodeh shutzarich lasot b'chiyuv lasot ve'oset shuvah. Because you know you have to do shuvah. Adi hachlata nechushar shulo yachzor shuvah ma'aseh shekazeh. Going through, he's explaining what shuvah is now. Whether you're never going to do that bad thing again. Me'atav elechu yitnehe karoi, and always be much better than that. Hine afilu, says the Rebbe, afilu otam advarim sha'asa otam ma'atzara yoter tov. But even those things that you've done perfectly well, Lefi ma'amado matzav aza, whatever situation you're in, belimud haTorah, etc. Hine kishavur od yom mitvaseif etzol belimud haTorah. If you learn better the next day, if you add more koach to learning the next day, if you become a better person the next day, what happens? You can very easily have a positive retroactive effect of everything you've done until now. So many days have passed, but this day of your day of accomplishment, has the ability to light up all the days that have passed before. So that one day, that graduation day, when you go back to a medical school exam, graduation ceremony of medical school, it's like a 3-hour event. It's very boring. But that 3-hour event, when you get your diploma, all those sacrifices that you had to sacrifice before, it makes them all so much more worthwhile because of the amazing accomplishment that you've had. That's the message that you learn from the 8th day of Hanukkah. 8th day of Hanukkah is the blah day. Nothing really so exciting going on that day. You already had 7 days just like it. It's a blah day. So says the Lubavitch Rebbe, take this blah day, make it an amazing day of Hanukkah. Take whatever messages, whatever you've learned about Hanukkah, the nes of the Pach Shemen and what that means, the nes of the Milchama, what that means in the secular culture and the Jewish culture, and how do you deal with it. Whatever message you learn from Hanukkah, whatever your experience with Hanukkah has been, make that today. How much more time do you have till the end of the holiday? I mean, no joke, it's 1:00 now. You have Hanukkah's over in about 5 hours. So now is the go time. When you go say Al Nisim for Mincha, and you have Kavana Rabba Alanisim, I just celebrated 7 days of joy, 7 days recounting the miracles. Who can retell the things that befell them? You know that song, who can retell the things that... When you now daven and say Alanisim, it's not just Alanisim and the Bla Eight Day of Hanukkah, is your, what's 8 times 3? Math majors? It is your 24th, at least. You probably ate some food and bench also. It's at least your, no, yeah, at least your 24th Alanisim. Now, the 24th Alanisim said the Rebbe shouldn't be just like, should be the best Alanisim of them all. It should be the Alanisim that excites and enlightens all the previous Alanisims. Because you had 8 days of holiday, don't let the last day go to Ibud. Don't let it go to waste. Lehefach, the 8 days, the opportunity to make all those other days worthwhile and much more strong. Let's continue very quickly. Last night we lit 8 candles, but 7 of them were for the other days, because the 8th day can light them all up. So the message of the 8th day of Hanukkah is take the regular, take the mundane, and use it as an opportunity to make every day that was prior to that even more special. Every day should be a day of growth. Every day the growth they have on that day should reflect positively on all days before that. I was at recently, about 2 weeks ago, Diane. You know Diane from Shalom for Women? So her son, son was 35 years old. He just got married. So I was at the wedding. It was like the craziest, most simcha-oriented wedding ever. Like he was like a little kid, like I don't need the chuppah. He was like couldn't control himself. Oops, sorry. Okay, very excited. He couldn't control himself. Everyone was going nuts. And you know, so I was sitting up there. So Neely and I were standing. You know, it's like Israel. There's like no men's section, women's section. Everyone's all over the place. Neely and I were standing next to each other, and we're looking at. We're both smiling, and then we think to ourselves like, how difficult the process of getting this boy the chuppah must have been. 35 years old. Yeah, and I'm sure he dated a lot before, and I'm sure there were ups, I'm sure there were downs. And then I was thinking, you know what, it's not only 35. You know, when you raise a child, there's a lot of difficulties in chinuch, right? There are ups and downs. Do I push him? Did I push him, her, him too much? Maybe I didn't push him enough. Maybe I should be challenging him, or maybe, and I should I make her a good bench or not make her? There's a lot. Chinuch is a very difficult thing. It's very, very difficult. So at what point do you look back and you say, whew, Baruch Hashem? Yeah, I think the wedding is one of those major, what do they call the moments?
Nachas.
No, nachas, there's a word for it in English. Milestones. When you get married, that's a major milestone in life. When you look back and you say, oh, like the parents, no pressure. Parents like have a certain like sigh of relief. It worked out. It worked out. So that wedding, it's not just a wedding, a simcha, what's happened right now. It's a retrospect on everything that occurred up to that point. The ups and downs, the trials and tribulations, all become something that fits into a nice package with a bow on top because it worked out. There are a lot of bas mitzvahs, a certain milestone, a bar mitzvah is a milestone. Right? And you have your first kid, that's a milestone. And milestones are opportunities for us to look back and say, Baruch Hashem. I can breathe. I accomplished that goal. And I think what the Rebbe is saying is that is what the 8th day of Hanukkah should help us remember and to realize. That there are experiences in life where we have milestones, where we look back and we say it was all worth it, it all made sense. But we shouldn't only have to wait for those milestone days to have that retrospect. That's something that we should do constantly and all the time. We should be constantly evaluating our experiences, evaluating and be cognizant of our accomplishments, and understand that when you accomplish even the littlest thing, everything that led up to that point becomes energized and becomes worthwhile as well. So again, whatever it is that you do, whatever you're, I hope you all have your, like, you know, it's a dangerous thing to say this time of year, New Year's resolution about something that you want to do better, something that you want to take on upon yourself. And it's very important to have certain points in your year when you look back and say that I'm doing the right thing and I've done the right thing. But again, we're still stuck with this idea that it is a blah day. And we have the challenge, we have the difficulty sometimes understanding and appreciating how to make a blah day, how to take something that is just ordinary, make it extraordinary. So for that, we'll just look at two more Maror Makomos, then we'll call it a day, and we'll read a quote, and then I'll just say some things outside. That there's one of my famous quotes I put into a lot of my shiurim is from Rav Tzadok HaKohen Milublin, one of the greatest Hasidic philosophers. He says as follows: that when we left Mitzrayim, we left what's called b'chipazon. B'chipazon means we left with haste. So it says Rav Tzadok, Reshit Knisat Adam LaAvodat Hashem Tzrich Liot B'chipazon. Whenever you start a new endeavor in Avodas Hashem, has to be done with haste. What does that mean? Kemo Shematzim B'Pesach Mitzrayim, like we experienced when we left Mitzrayim. Shaya. We ate the matzah b'chipazon very hastily, but later on, all the other Pesach were done with a little more relaxation. Because if you want to separate yourself from something that's bringing you down in this world, if you want to get yourself away from anything that's like has a grip on you, you have to wait for that moment. You have to find that moment of hitorut, of excitement, that moment of inspiration. And grab onto that moment. So Rav Tzadok is saying that the first step in Avodas Hashem, first step in any new endeavor that you're trying to accomplish, is that when you see that inspiration, don't let it pass you by. Grab onto it. You know, it's like, I really want to learn something new. Let's start in 3 weeks. You're not going to start in 3 weeks. You want to learn something new? Start today. You know, after winter break, I'm going to start davening mincha every day. No. If you wait until winter break, you're probably not going to do it. If you have a moment of inspiration, you have to crystallize. You have to concretize. You have to grab on it right now. So that's beautiful. So that tells us like how we start in Avodas Hashem. But how do we continue? What do we do to make sure we can maintain that? So I was trying to think about, you know, it's like a thing that seminary rabbis talk about all the time. How do we stay inspired, right? And it's like, you know, it's the million-dollar question without any good answer. So I would just, the reason why I don't think there are any good answers is because everyone's different. Everyone has, do you mind if I take a drink? I made a bracha already, don't worry. So I'm trying to think about like some messages that I got in the past about how to do our best to stay inspired. So, can I share some tips with you? Is that right? Yeah. Okay, one thing's going to sound a little corny, yeah? But we're getting older. We're always getting older. You have to stay healthy. I know it's ridiculous. But, like, we're always so tired. We go to sleep so late. I don't know what we're doing. It's like it's such a big balagan. So, first thing is, like, if you stay healthy, healthy body, healthy mind, healthy soul. It's true. Right? Again, you know, this is... what did you say?
Skinny girl.
My skinny girl, my sparkly juice. They say, again, just some silly things. Drink. In the morning, most people wake up in the morning and they're dehydrated. You ever feel like a little bit icky in the morning, a little bit, like, sick and, like, tired, yeah? So, wake up in the... It's health class. Wake up in the morning. You're supposed to drink water. Drink water in the morning. You'll see you very quickly. You'll feel good. So why am I saying that? Because I'm like some health guru, some health freak, some yoga freako. So the reason why I'm saying it is yoga freako.
I'll take that. Okay.
Getting to know all about you. I'm saying that because when you daven shacharis, you know, 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, you're going to feel much better about your davening because you're going to be, you'll feel healthy, you'll feel better. That, but we can leave that aside for all of us who, you know. I think another important thing is that at least have goals. If you have goals and you stick to your goals, it can be also can be a wonderful, amazing feeling. If you have a goal and you stick to your goal, you know, I started doing Daf Yomi this cycle. It's like, it's amazing. I think I have spent more time learning than I've ever done in my life just because I have a goal and I have like a pressure to finish that day. I got to finish that day's Daf. It's a pressure. When I fall behind, like it's like an icky feeling. I got to accomplish my goal. So in life, you should always be goals. Now again, you know, I've said this before in seminary that, you know, your goals have to be goals that are realistic to you. If you say, I'm gonna go to all the Midrash Shah classes, plus learn Daf Yomi, plus learn Mishra Bur Yomi, plus learn Tanya Yomi, plus go to the old age, I'm 17 hours a day, like it's not gonna happen. The goals that you give yourself have to be goals that you can accomplish. Because not only is it about accomplishing a goal, it's also about feeling good about yourself. And if you actually can accomplish the goal, then you feel good about yourself. And then you move on to the next goal and you give yourself more of a challenge. So I think goals are very important. One thing that I learned once from Rabbi Goldsmith, he said something that I thought was very nice. You know, one of the areas in life that we struggle most in with this idea, this blah, this idea of things becoming just reflexive and not having so much meaning is when it comes to davening. Davening is something that we do, but it's very difficult to actually feel like you're having a conversation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Goldsmith, smoozing with Rabbi Goldsmith about this once, and he said that he used to do this thing, maybe he still does, is that every year, at certain, some point during the year, every year, the anniversary of that date, he would always buy a new sitter. You buy a new sitter, and you open up. First of all, you have to pay attention because the pages aren't the same. Right? You have to, and like the words are in different places. If you buy a new sitter, it can help energize your davening. That's not only true with davening; it's true with everything in life. It's called, the Mitzvah Shem calls it tachbula, like a kind of a trick. Find ways to trick yourself. Find ways to enhance from the external way to enhance externally. Like speaking about my dear friend we mentioned before, Rabbi Cohen from Hilchos Brachos. He had when I remember when I was in Shalvim, he had a shtick. I guess davening was something he wanted to improve on. It was ridiculous, but for me to see it. But he used to put on a tie and shalva in for every tefillah. Like, it's like a little weird. But, you know, he's davening now. I put on a tie. That's why a lot of yeshiva guys, you see that guys, like, they put on gartels when they daven. So on one hand, you want to, like, laugh at them, like, what's wrong with you? Nech HaSidish? Where did that come from? And on the other hand, you got to give them a little bit of credit because they're doing something that's external, a bit of a trick to enhance their davening. So davening is one example, but could be anything in life that you struggle with. Do something external to enhance it. You have your chavrusa, so, like, do something special to make that chavrusa more meaningful. You know, every time you have a chavrusa, you go to the JLIC Beit Midrash because you're learning. That's where you're supposed to be. And then maybe after a month, you go to a different location. I don't know, whatever it is, that you have to find ways to bring a certain hikat to. And the last tip that I want to give, which is also based upon this morning's Torah reading, right? It's always, are they okay? Okay, and the last tip that I want to give in the very brief time that we have left is something you learned from this morning's Torah reading. Those of you who went to shul this morning, you probably, if you were awake, you probably paid attention that this is basically the same Torah reading that we've had for the last 7 days, with only one change, only the name of the Nasi, but it's basically the same. It says each Nasi is bringing the Karbanos for their dedication to the Mishkan. So basically, like, Nasi after, the same exact thing. So all the Mefarshim say, the Torah could have just said, on this day, every Nasi brought the same Karban, and here's the Karban. Why does the Torah go through each one? It's repeating the same Karban. Why does it go through each one? So the Mefarshim say, because every one of the Nasim had their own special Kavana, their own special intention, their own special originality that they brought, even though they bring in the same thing, they did it in their own special way. So I think another way that we can try to keep ourselves inspired is by simply having more kavana, becoming a little more mindful of those things that we're doing, can inject those things that we do every day and make them more meaningful. Like tefillah is another great example of tefillah that, and most of us rush through and run through, but if you know you want to start davening at 7 a.m., but you sit down to daven at 6:55 and just stop and think for 1 second, I am now about to daven. This is my opportunity to interact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At least for the first 5 minutes of davening, you'll be a little more inspired. At least. Maybe even more than that. But that's true with any mitzvah that you do. Right before you bench. Benching is a chiyuv d'oraisa. V'chata v'svato v'irachta. So before you bench, right? First of all, bench with the bencher. Before you bench, stop for a second and say, not only am I about to fulfill a chiyuv d'oraisa of benching, but I'm about to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the food that I ate. Look at this. I went to, where do we eat around here? What's that Mexican place that's really good? I went to Carl's and Gabby's. Kadosh Baruch Hu created this amazing thing called Carl's and Gabby's.
I don't think I had anything to do with it.
So it should be for a bracha, not a klala, Carl's and Gabby's. And you're there, and you're about to, you've eaten your hamburger, and you feel like $1 million, or like you need to go to the hospital. Either way, you stop and you say, I'm about to bench. Hazan et ha'olam kulo b'tuvo b'chein. I'm thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu. He gave me food. With chayin, he didn't just give me food. He gave me good food. And rachamim, and mercy, that hopefully shouldn't, you know, whatever. They should be fine in there. It's a beautiful bracha, but we just go through it so quickly. Oh, no, did I say the whole thing? I missed like 17 of the harachamans. Are they even harachamans? I don't even know what I'm doing. If you just take a second and be mindful of what you're doing, it'll make it so much more meaningful. So, the message of the 8th day of Hanukkah, I think, is take the ordinary, make it extraordinary. When you do that, then it can retroactively make all the things that you've done in the past that much more meaningful. And we should use some of these tips, including the drinking water every morning and the having kavanah daven and buying the siddur, whatever it is, to take those days that are ordinary and really make them extraordinary by having more kavanah, making it more meaningful, making everything that we do, even the things that we do every day that become almost like a reflex for us, make them inspirational because the opportunity is there. And as Thomas Edison once said, he says, opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. You want to be inspired? So inspire yourself. Make it happen. Work for it. What do they say? What's the movie? No, it's so many movies. Field of Dreams, which is actually a kosher movie.
What?
Field of Dreams. What does he say? What's the you guys ever see Field of Dreams? It's not so good. But one line is very good. Basically, a ghost comes and tells a guy to build a baseball field. And then the ghost says to the guy, you know this movie, right? Are you joking me? You never seen Field of Dreams? Rabbi Charnoff?
Yeah.
Homework. He says, if you build it, they will come. If you build it, they will come.
That's where that's from?
Yeah, it's from Field of Dreams.
Oh my God.
If you build it, they will come. This is like one of those old moments, you know. If you build it, they will come. If you build it, they will come. If you build, you put forth the work, it'll happen. But if you sit there hoping that you're gonna find it yourself, it ain't gonna happen. So I want to bless me and you and all of Klaus. So once again, I want to thank Rabbi Charnoff for his hospitality. I want to bless us all. That Kosh Baruch will give us the koch and the courage to inspire ourselves, to put forth effort, to make things that we do more meaningful. And with that, we not only will make today special, but every day that passes by will also become more special as well. Chanukah Sameach.
Can I still?
Please.
We have 2 minutes.
Is that okay?
Yeah. We at OUJLIC, Queens College, are also really grateful to have Rabbi Turetsky. We truly value our relationship with Shalom for Women, as with all the major shows, but we have, thank God, a truly special relationship, as I think might have snuck out a few times during that year. Just a small little bit of Torah to leave you with as well, from our side. It's at the end of Hilchos Chanukah in the Rambam. The final 2 halachot are very interesting. The second to last halacha says that lighting Chanukah candles is so incredibly important that even if somebody has to sell the shirt off their back in order to buy a candle to light each day, then they need to sell the shirt off their back in order to light a candle each day. That's how important Ner Chanukah is. And so you think, wow, that's an amazing way to end up Hilchos Chanukah, to talk about the importance of Ner Chanukah and how meaningful it is. And then the Rambam comes with this big crescendo, this big apex, the end of the whole thing he comes with. And if you have a choice between Ner Chanukah and Ner Shabbos, you know what you do? Light Ner Shabbos, because it's so beautiful and it's so amazing and Shabbos is awesome, and because it's Shalom Bayis and Shalom Bayis Keneged Kulam. And he goes on and on about Nero Shabbos and Shalom Bayis. And you're like, that was great and I feel super inspired about Shabbos, but that was the most anticlimactic possible conclusion to Hilchos Chanukah. Why is he putting it there? And so there's a longer piece here, which could be shared on its own, which was much more important for you to refer to my text, which is sort of my point, is that the Rambam is actually emphasizing something that's really crucial, which is what Ner Chanukah about is Shalom Bayis. And for whatever reason, we can go into another time, for whatever reason, Ner Chanukah is meant to be a hemshech of drawing out, one time a year for 8 days, drawing out the Shalom Bayis of Ner Shabbos, and actually putting it front and center in our doorways to say that we are proud of the Shalom Bayis that we have, we're proud of what we stand for, where we put who we are in the doorway publicly instead of just keeping it more private, more hidden. It's the 8 days a year where we do that and we put it in the doorway. And so what the Rambam is bringing out is that the meaning of Ner Chanukah stems from Ner Shabbos, stems from Shalom Bayis. And it's better to mevatel Ner Chanukah. If you're not going to have Shalom Bayis, you're not going to have Ner Shabbos. He's telling you what the source, what the origin of Ner Chanukah is all about. And I think that to me, that's how I view in many ways our relationship with the Israel Midrashot. Our home is Yerushalayim. Our home is Eretz Yisrael. That's the Bayis. That's where you get your Iker light from. That's where you get your Iker Shalom from. Ki Mitzion Teitz Tzorah D'Var Hashem Yerushalayim. And I very much feel one of the primary functions of what we do here is that we're the Hemshech of that Or. We're the ones who help bring that Or out into the doorways, into the doorposts, out into the world to show the world the beauty of what you've been able to gain from the heart and soul of what you've gotten from wonderful Rebbein like Rav Turetsky, from Rabbi Goldsmith, from Shalavim for Women, what you've been able to gain there, and to help bring it out, and to help train you how to keep that flame going in the world that you go into, safe from the winds that try to blow it out, from the rain, from the cold and the snow. That's what we're here to try and help you do, is bring that flame forward and outward, but with the deep recognition of where that flame comes from. And that's why we so much prioritize these amazing alumni events. We're so grateful that you come out, and we work really hard to put them together. It's because we're really grateful to everything that Rabbi Turetsky, you and Sheldon Fruman and all, and you have all done for these wonderful young women. And we really hope that we can keep helping you take it forward.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks.